in the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man. Why you had the stupidest verse? Let's do this the truth. Now everybody giving them
81-74, 7-point ball game. 7.8 to go. Hogs inbounded to Madden. Kai, right side, deep three on the way. No good. Maiman clears the board for Tennessee. Alley to Barton, and this ball game's over. Hogs put up a fight tonight, but in the end, the home team wins it. Tennessee claims an 81-74 victory.
My guys gave me the maximum effort. They looked like hogs out there. They were scrambling and scrapping everywhere. And just at the end there, we just didn't do the things we got to do to finish it out. We up two with the ball, and we wanted to be in a position to attack the basket. And we end up settling for a jump shot. And before you know it, they go down and score. And I thought the biggest turnaround when that game was when that intentional foul. The intentional foul to me was the MVP of this game.
I would give it to McCray, but that's fine. Welcome into the zone today, live in the Fury Electric studio. Great to be here. Tomorrow we'll be on the road at the Arkansas Big Buck Classic. Hopefully not talking about the loss, but hopefully previewing an Arkansas win at home this weekend. Chris Kane of KTV here. Matty T, very, very upset after last night's loss. And
just heartbreaking.
I know. It's hard to get out of bed this morning, wasn't it, big guy?
It's hard to get out of bed every morning.
You know the old song, Lord, it's hard to be humble? When you're an Arkansas Razorback fan, somebody put last night on Twitter, it's Lord, it's hard to stay sober when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. And
saw that.
It's becoming more and more common. Today in the zone, we will talk about the game. If you want to weigh in, I don't know. I don't even know. I have no more answers. All I can say is I find them entertaining, and as a fan, I can't help but root for this bunch. I still see a lot of things that bother me. I think we're going to continue to see those things bother me and you the rest of the season. I really think 15 minutes of film study could do these guys a world of good. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they just can't get through their thick heads or what the deal is, but there's mistakes that keep being made.
There are times where they look like they're the team that we expect them to be. They're, you know, in transition, and Kiko finds Moses Kingsley, and he just lays it right in. That's the kind of basketball we want to see.
Got to have more easy opportunities.
Yes, and those don't come often at all for the Razorbacks.
Not near enough,
which we expect them to be a very good transition team. You know, we expect them to be able to go down and move the ball effectively on the run, and they kind of slow it down. They don't. I don't know.
The way I look at them, I explained this to Tommy this morning. The Arkansas Razorback basketball team to me right now is a guy that has $1 million and is out blowing money at strip clubs and taking his buddies out for high priced meals and flying all over the place and doing all this stuff. And next thing you know, he has no money. Arkansas had, on several occasions and several possessions in a row, Tennessee basically hand them the ball. Now, Arkansas earned it defensively, admittedly. But there were a couple plays where I'm like, oh my gosh, Tennessee, you look clueless offensively. And they just would hand the ball over, and Arkansas would go the other way. And guess what? They would not convert it into points. Bad shots, poor passing, they'd turn it back over, whatever it was. Steve Shields has talked about it before on the show. Mike Krzyzewski's made it a point of contention for his team for years, or point of emphasis, I should say. Value the ball. Value the possessions, especially when you're Arkansas and you don't get that many. You've got to make the most of your possessions. You've got to do something with the ball when you force those turnovers. And if you can't get an initial bucket in transition, that doesn't mean force it in there. I saw one play last night where Harris got it, and it was like a one-on-three after a turnover. It's like, dude, you don't have a play. You need to pull the ball out and try something else.
Wait for help.
Yeah.
You can easily wait 2 seconds, and you'll get help.
There was a play at the end of the half, too, where there was a steal by Arkansas. Another terrible mistake by Tennessee. And instead of going down and getting an easy basket, Arkansas had the advantage. And I'd have to go back and look at the tape again to see who all was open. But Madden basically just sort of killed time for about 4 or 5 seconds and then forces up a three that they brick.
Yeah.
It's, again, he has this hero mentality that he shouldn't have. The bottom line is, dude, you don't have a cape. You're not the hero. You're a piece of the puzzle and an important one, but you got to quit trying to be a hero. It's often, it's game after game after game. It's 3 games in a row that he had that hero moment that he didn't convert. And again, it was the half, not the end of the game or not the end of overtime. But again, you got to get out of that mentality. You got to work within the confines of whatever you've got. And you've got open guys under the basket. Get the frickin' ball to the open guy under the basket.
How many times, too, do we see them move down the court and let's say they're not even in the zone for maybe 2 seconds as someone jacks up a three. Not just Madden, but anyone out there. Anthon Bell had a couple. He was so quick to pull the trigger last night, you know, with 30 seconds on the shot clock.
He's trying to shoot his way out of a slump.
They got to stop referring to him as a three-point specialist if he's going to keep shooting like that. 1 for 5 last night.
Yeah, and he was 1 of 7 the other day from the floor, 1 of 5 from three.
You got, to be a specialist, you have to be somewhat special at something, and three-point shooting right now is not his game. It's not working for him.
I agree, and he does look confident with the ball. I'll give him that, so I think he can do some other things.
I'm okay with him shooting.
I love the way Gully's playing. I love, obviously, Kiko came in, and it's, you know, he's intermittent. I mean, he's hit and miss, but when he's when he's shooting it well and he's in a groove, the guy's streaky. I mean, we saw him do it against Michigan last year. I mean, he can get hot, and he's – he's a weapon, but anyway, you're not going to be able to count on that.
No. There was a moment last night, too, in the first half where Arkansas went down. First, they had the run. Then they went flat, and the lineup was Ja'Cory Williams, Alandis Harris, Moses Kingsley, Kiko Haydar, and I think Wade on the court, too. Okay. And and it was like, wow, okay, this is all bench play right now. Let's see what they can do. They tied the game.
Yeah.
And then they made a little run, and then they get pulled.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I think I'm convinced now, and it's been an issue for Jim Harris on Twitter repeatedly. You got to get more minutes for Kingsley. He's finally snapped out of his. He looked a little bit shell shocked the first couple games in SEC play.
Not anymore.
No, he's figured it out. Did you look at his stat line from last night, Chris?
Yes, I have.
The kid played 12 minutes. He had like 2 steals, 3 blocks, 4 points, and a rebound or
4 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean the guy played out of his mind in 12 minutes. Can we get him a couple more minutes? I don't know what the rotation is. I don't know how they figure it. I don't know what they base playing time on, but there's a kid that's earned some more.
And you know what I like about him, too? He didn't back down. In fact, there was one moment last night where he got in Jarnell Stokes' face after Kingsley went down. Kingsley made the steal, took it down the court, and put it in the basket, and he went and found Jarnell Stokes there, who was trailing behind him, and said something to him. You saw the ref come out and say something like, hey, back off, don't stop talking to him. But I loved that. For a freshman to go to someone else's court, to take the ball like that, drive it down, and then talk to the kid and let you know, hey, I'm going to be here all night. For a freshman to do that, that was impressive.
I love Bobby Portis, but he kind of disappeared last night, too. Another horrific effort from Michael Qualls, who was totally out of it. And he only played 10 minutes last night, but 0-3 again. I mean, the guy is just, he's lost. I don't know what the deal is.
Bobby Portis, another attempt beyond the arc, too. 0-1.
Yeah.
Jarnell Stokes still hadn't taken a three-point shot all season.
God bless him. Arkansas 7 of 17 beyond the arc last night. That is, for the game, 41%. I can live with that. 11 of 17 at the line. Not so good.
Compare that with their 30 for 38 at the line. And it had a lot of people on Twitter last night questioning the officiating, that's for sure.
There was some home cooking. Joe Dean is an idiot, too. Joe Dean, the color analyst, who I actually like listening to call a game, he made a comment, and you tweeted about it, too, about how it was such a great officiating career. I'm like, what are you watching?
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of
guests. He called them all-star.
There was one terrible no-call, and then there was a ridiculous charge call at the other end. I'm like, these guys have no idea what they're doing. It is amazing to me how bad the officiating was last night. And it's, again, when the officiating stands out over the poor play in the SEC, you're really, really bad at what you do.
There was a point in the first half, too. I think Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette said, Mike Anderson might want to ask about the free throw percentages right now, or at least attempts at the line. Tennessee had 16. Arkansas had 2 in the first half with 2 minutes left in the first half.
There were a couple of times that he almost snapped. You could see Mike was on the edge. He's going to have to snap.
Yes.
He's going to have to.
Yeah, it has
I know
to
Mike,
happen.
Mike likes to comport himself in a controlled way.
Yeah.
And he's passionate and he's intense without going over the line. But you're going to have to get a tee and snap on somebody and get a little respect out there because they didn't get any last night.
No.
And again, you're on the road, I understand. Okay, so Arkansas at this point, I'm not going to belabor this today like I did the Peyton Manning debate yesterday, which was a lot of fun. I was simultaneously making my case on the air while fighting with Sully, Kevin Kelly, and Pat Bradley on Twitter.
They were all against you, too.
Bro, I'm telling you, I had guns blazing. I was the guns of the Navarone. I was feeling good yesterday. I didn't even care. I was like, bring on more. Is this all you got?
Both sides made good points, though. You were both making valid arguments, and the callers that called in yesterday, I thought, too, made valid points to argue for both sides. Your argument, I thought, was backed up by statistics and information that would give Peyton Manning the case to be the best quarterback of all time. But also, there are some things that Tom Brady possesses, not only, you know, with the talent around him or lack thereof, what he's still able to do. I think that's a big part of it. And you mentioned Bill Belichick being the greatest coach of all time. But one thing that I think it's overlooked is Belichick's not an offensive guy. He's not the one calling the offense.
No, but
in fact, Brady's gone through several offensive coordinators. Peyton Manning had Tom Moore almost his entire career.
I don't think Belichick is just a defensive coach, though. I think Belichick is the greatest CEO of any team that we've seen. I mean, other than a guy like Phil Jackson, who obviously has been surrounded by incredible talent, but again, you've got to manage egos, and he did an incredible job. NBA is probably even more so that way. Joe Klein's coming in later. We'll get his thoughts on
that. Okay, yeah.
I'm curious to see what he thinks about it. I mean, I'm sure Joe likes the Patriots fine. I know he's a Kansas City guy. I'm sure living in New England for as long as he did and being a Celtics fan, and I'm assuming he roots for the Red Sox a little bit, but he's a homegrown guy. I mean, he likes the Chiefs and he likes the Royals. I can't imagine he hates on the Red Sox or the Patriots, though.
No.
I would guess. I don't know. I'm curious to see who he's rooting for here. I bet he'll be rooting for Denver.
We'll ask him.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So what does Arkansas have to do to get the NCAA tournament at this point? Admittedly, a long shot. They're going to have to win out at home without a doubt. That would put them at 8-4 with no road games. That means Arkansas is going to have to come up with at least, I think, 3 road games. You got to come up with 3 wins on the road somehow. Because 11-7 doesn't guarantee you a spot in the NCAA tournament. I'm not even sure 12 wins does with as sorry as this league is. But 11 wins really is, that's a minimum, bare minimum. So you're going to have to find 3 road wins. Good luck.
And don't forget the SEC tournament. Maybe get some wins.
Yeah, perhaps win a couple there too.
Maybe win a couple.
Yeah.
And that's something Arkansas hasn't been able to do the past several years.
True that.
They're one and done.
Yes. And then when they did get to the final a few years ago, they lost to a Georgia team that had already played that day.
Yeah.
Anyway, guess who is good at winning on the road? UALR. And the Trojans are back at home tonight. That's where I'll be tonight, at the Jack Stevens Center with my miniature me.
Me too.
Yeah.
With my better half.
Yes.
There we go.
I don't know if my wife's going or not. Maddox is for sure coming.
Yeah.
You guys want to hang out?
Sure.
Awesome.
All right.
We just had a play date.
All right. Fired up. Let's do it.
So Joe's going to come in and talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA. We'll get his thoughts on Belichick and who he likes in the Super Bowl. UCA men and women both home tonight. They've got a doubleheader that starts at 5:30. And then they are home again for a doubleheader on Saturday. So we're going to talk to Joe. I think I'm almost positive UALR goes to ASU this weekend.
They do, Saturday tonight.
Yeah, first of the 2 matchups for the year. So that'll be fun.
Great matchup.
ASU, they're having a solid season so far, too. I think they are a half game or a game back of UALR. And both teams very much in contention right now for the division lead. So we'll talk to Joe about the overall picture and how his team is doing. Neighbors having a good solid year as expected. James White, there was a nice write-up today about another player for UALR. So, again, going to be fun tonight. Looking forward to it. Got to talk about the Super Bowl a little bit more. Every day there's another Richard Sherman angle. There is now, if you haven't seen it yet, Matt saw it. I watched it this morning. I'm sure you've seen it, Chris. Another interview that actually Sherman did prior to talking to Aaron Andrews with the Fox... Deportes. I guess is that. I know we have ESPN Deportes. I don't know. I guess it's Fox Deportes too.
Yeah, they have it.
So he did an interview with this guy briefly, and he basically said the same things about Crabtree. So he had 3 questions. He answered them all, and he got same thing could have happened. It's the same argument I made the other day, and I'm glad that this happened because it just proved me right, which is if she had an opportunity to ask him more questions, he would not have just stayed on Crabtree. He would have moved on, because that's exactly what he did with the Fox Deportes reporter. Also in the clip that you see, when he basically hands Sherman off to Aaron for the interview, he gives Aaron a big hug before they start the interview. Did you notice that?
I didn't see it yet. I thought you were talking about what he said.
We're going to talk about that,
Crabtree,
too.
Okay.
Yeah. Go to Deadspin, and it's got the video. It's on a couple other websites as well. I have not seen the video of what he said to Crabtree. Apparently, there is some audio of them talking to each other during the game.
Yes.
What does that entail?
You know, NFL Films mics up certain players. Of course, he's one they would mic up.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah. Well, he said 2 things to him, and it was the same thing. He just repeated it. He walked up, and he said, "Hell of a game." He gave him the little butt slap and said, "Hell of a game. Hell of a game." And
it was after the game?
It was after the play.
Okay, so basically the game was over.
The game was over. That was after he tipped the play. And that's when Crabtree hit him in the face.
Sure.
And that's when they, they kind of blew up and escalated, obviously, to the end of the game. But it wasn't in that kind of a hey, hell of a game. It was, hey, hell of a game. Hell of a game. It was very direct and just, good game. We're done.
Yeah, I can understand. In the same way I can understand Sherman being hot after the game and giving the interview he gave, which has created a lot of negativity, I can understand Crabtree being upset at that moment, too. Basically,
yeah,
your chance to go to the Super Bowl again just went away.
Absolutely.
So I can understand that part of it. I don't have a problem with what Crabtree did. I really don't have a problem with what Sherman did either.
No, I don't have any issue.
It took away from his team's success in the game.
How about this? That's all we've talked about since
that's true.
Since the matchup was finalized. That's what's sad.
Yesterday I talked about how Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback of all time, so I am giving the other side a little love, too. By the way, I'm glad it's all working out, because you know what? Goodell is getting what he deserves. And I think Goodell is he's probably the most controversial, I would say, commissioner right now. Bud Selig's, I think, the least thought of. I think Stern's the most respected. Of course, he's handing off the reins to Silver here
we don't even count
hockey. He's had his moments where he got into the dress code thing. That's really the only thing I can remember that's been controversial. I'm sure there's been other stuff with Stern. But I think he's the most respected as far as the way he's built the game and the growth of the NBA. Goodell is a little more controversial. I think he's generally well-liked by players and fans alike.
Goodell?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
No. I'm not sure of anything.
Not just James Harrison, but over the years, I felt like I've heard more complaints. You never heard that about Paul Tagliabue.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you hear players come out and say, oh, yeah, Roger, he doesn't care about the game. He doesn't care about the players. Those are from anonymous players who, you know, submit those surveys.
Yeah,
I
think everybody's frustrated with the lack of physicality or the way they're trying to minimize it to some degree. And again, I understand. I mean, the kickoff thing has got some people bothered. I understand the hits and some of the other things. In general, I think people would say that overall he's done a pretty good job. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy about that. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, he's the commissioner, and I guess the point of all this is he and the league have decided to do this, you know, open-air, cold-weather Super Bowl. They are getting what they deserve. It is the dumbest idea. Probably in the history of the NFL, it might be the dumbest idea ever.
He said he hopes it snows, too.
Well, that's stupid.
He said that.
Well, that's idiotic. I hope they get 10 feet of snow. I hope they have to move the game. I hope they have more traffic issues than were created by New Jersey's governor, allegedly. I hope they have all sorts of problems getting the broadcast teams, the teams, the fans, and everybody else to New York. The teams are probably already there. I hope they have all sorts of problems. I hope they do. That's what they deserve. There are 20 stadiums that make more sense for them to play in, and that's off the top of my head that I could name, than to play in this stadium. This is the dumbest thing ever. It's definitely going to be freezing cold. It's going to be in the 20s. It's going to impact the game.
Do you want to pay $2,500 to go freeze your tail off?
Nope. I said yesterday on the show, I would rather pay $3,000 to sit in Miami and watch the Super Bowl. I would rather pay $3,000 and sit in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena and watch a Super Bowl. I'd rather go to Phoenix Stadium.
Great stadium.
There's a million places I'd rather be. Not a million, but there are a lot of places I'd rather be.
Let's say 100.
I would rather they play the game in London. And I don't know what the weather's like over there right now, but I'd rather they play the game in London, which I also think is a dumb idea, than play it in New York with a snowstorm.
You're playing Australia right now. It's warm.
Here's how bad it is, y'all. They had a nice sunny day yesterday, but there was snow all over the field. They had to put a tent over the end zone to keep the snow off of the end zone so they could paint it for the Super Bowl. That's how ridiculous this has gotten. Are you kidding me with this nonsense? I mean, the only thing dumber than this is keeping the Pro Bowl alive.
That's the dumbest thing that they've done. In fact, I read the article on Deadspin today. That might be the worst. This year's idea for the draft and whatnot, it was worse than the original Pro Bowl.
Honestly, that is like them bringing in a DOA to a hospital and then like a med tech walking up and putting a Band-Aid on him.
Yep.
It's like, the dude is dead. Why are you putting a Band-Aid on him, you moron?
Pro Bowl's dead. We're
Pro
done
Bowl
with that.
Pro Bowl is so ridiculous. Look, you can spice it up all you want. You can let Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders, heck, you can let Joe Montana and Brett Favre argue over it. I don't care what
you
do.
You can let them all play. I'm still not watching.
No, I'm not watching, and nobody else is either, except for Joe Franklin, who's the only guy who I know has seen like every Pro Bowl ever. It is dead. You tried it. Nobody wants to play in it. It is nonsense. There's no way to save it. Stop it. Stop with the madness. You're driving me crazy with this crap. It's really trash. I'm really disappointed. This is this week between Deion and Jerry. These two, and I don't know how much these guys are getting paid. Two guys I really respect. Two of the best ever. I mean, you can make an argument Deion's the best corner ever. You can make a very, I think, an unequivocal argument that Jerry Rice is the best receiver ever.
You said yesterday if you were to make a team, you know, where you would have one quarterback, one receiver, one running back, you'd probably put Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders on that all-pro of all-time team.
No argument.
Yes.
I have no problem with that. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would say there are other defensive backs, and I'm sure you can make a case. I don't think anybody's going to argue with Jerry Rice. Anyway, these two guys, and again, I don't know how much money they're being paid. It can't be enough. Because all you're doing, again, is trying to force-feed me this garbage.
Jerry's going to get the call heads or tails on the coin toss. Then the show begins from there. Jerry's a little nervous. He's really not sure of himself.
Deion, I am not nervous.
It's my turn.
I'm not nervous.
It's my turn.
I'm not nervous.
Okay, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you sit down?
Yeah. I remember those nights you couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Okay?
Man, I checked with the housekeepers. You didn't have nothing but plastic on your bed before you played against me.
I mean, that's funny and cute. Two guys that have good personalities, but I... It's crazy. You got, I mean, all the brilliant people in the world, and we can't come up with something better than this? Or maybe it's just the people who are making the call are not accepting of these good ideas that are out there.
Think about this, too. If you do a skills competition, the sponsors, they get sponsored, the thing that the targets, you know, that move across. Sponsorship opportunities, I think, are expanded
are you
with
kidding?
The skills competition.
How much do you think somebody would pay, Chris, to sponsor the NFL's fastest man? That used to be an unbelievably highly thought of honor.
Yes.
Now it's really gone away for the most part. And
who knows?
There's talk.
Who knows?
I mean, exactly. Lots of guys say they're the fastest or whatever. I mean, it'd be great to see that. That would be so much fun to tune into.
I know.
I'd rather see the NFL guys in a poker tournament, a charity poker tournament.
Agree. You could have so many different events with so many different sponsorship opportunities. I would do that instead of a Pro Bowl.
I'd rather watch NFL players doing a ring toss than watch this garbage. I mean, Bago. NFL Bago.
That'd be actually kind of fun to watch.
Fun. Yeah. Peyton versus Tom. Of course, they couldn't do it the week before the Super Bowl because, you know, Manning's busy. I mean, Peyton versus Tom. Yeah. Ethan, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, a few quick things, Justin. First of all, you said Jerry Rice and Deion are probably the best at their positions ever. Richard Sherman begs to differ.
Of course he does.
But anyway, hey, and I was listening a while ago to Mike Anderson at the press conference after the game. He said this is the team that he wants to see. I'm sorry. I mean, I realize we played we probably shouldn't have been in that game last night like that. But that's not the team I want to see.
I want to see
a team that finishes.
There was a admittedly, they do have a – I think Tommy's right. Tommy said it this morning. I don't agree with him on many things, but he pointed out it's mental with them now. These guys do not have that finisher's mentality, and they are struggling at the end of games. But like I said before, it's like a guy with $1 million who's finding different ways to blow it. You have a 5-point lead. They keep giving you the ball. You have to build that lead to 15. Then guess what? You can withstand their charge at the end because you got a 15-point cushion. They're taking that 5-point lead and building it to 6 after like 4 turnovers in a row. That's not good.
When we have a lead at the end, I don't care who we have on the floor, we need to have the 5 best free throw shooters on the floor. I mean, is that not, to me it makes common sense.
Well, it depends, because I need rebounders too. I will say the majority of the frontline guys are pretty good free throw shooters. We went through the numbers yesterday.
Hey, I have a take on the Super Bowl that I don't think I've heard anybody say. I believe that this will be the first Super Bowl ever that two teams that used to be in the same division will face each other.
That's a good point.
Haven't heard that one yet.
Seattle used to be in the AFC, right?
Yes.
And they were in the West.
When Dave Craig was the QB.
And Jim Zorn, Steve Largent, you know.
Steve Largent.
Back when they were good and they wore the real colors and didn't go to whatever.
I like. I kind of like the fluorescent-y mix.
Oh, I do too. But I mean, I don't think that's ever happened before, has it?
No, I think that's probably true.
Okay, I'm going out on a high note. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Ethan. Appreciate it. Dale?
Hey,
go ahead.
How can you have the Pro Bowl All-Star matchup prior to the best two teams in the NFL?
Players
available.
You're right. I mean, what they're doing is trying to hold your attention the week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, and it's not working. And it also screws a few of the guys that should be there out of it.
Yeah.
I think they ought to do it afterwards. And again, if you revamp it and you do some things that are actually interesting for television and you can create a million events. I mean, Chris and I sat here and came up with 3 off the top of our heads. We haven't even spent any time on this.
Yeah.
And people would tune in to watch it. Again, if you make it worthwhile, it doesn't matter where you put. You can do it in June and people will watch it. But you don't have a good product.
Yeah, would Manning be a quarterback in the Pro Bowl if they did it after the Super Bowl?
I think if you're Manning, you love it because you're like, I can't play and I have the perfect excuse. I'm getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. Thank God. I still get my Pro Bowl bonus check and I don't have to go.
Yeah, they just got this all hosed up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all out of sorts.
They should give them a trip to Hawaii, though. I don't know if they do that. Look, I know they can afford it, but still.
You know what? They ought to give me a trip to Hawaii for having to watch this trash.
Or they should offer a trip, and if they want, they can give it away to someone for charity. How about that? And you could be that.
How about you just write them a fat check as a bonus for making it? Then they can do what they want with the money.
That'll
and if
work.
They want to
That'll
donate
work.
Their charity, their check to charity, which a lot of the guys probably do anyway.
That'd be cool.
You know, that'd be fine. 10:31. Unfortunately, we'll talk more about the Razorbacks when we come back. So Ben and Sterling, hang on. We'll get to you guys out of the break. 11 o'clock, we'll do Good, Bad, and the Ugly about last night's game. I do have to give credit. Tennessee had a couple of really good individual performances last night. Joe Klein will join us today. And Barrett Baber's going to call in later. He has the Grammy gig of a lifetime. Tonight is the night for him.